Good morning. If you will, turn your psalm books to 308. And welcome everyone to Church of Christ, New Lex. 308, please. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of love. More of their beauty see, wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank this opportunity we have to come together, sing these songs, praise to thee, hear your word proclaimed. We ask you to be with all those who are sick and afflicted, those less fortunate we are, be with those who have lost loved ones recently. Please continue with the Kennedy family at this time of loss. Dear Lord, we ask you would help us to be better Christians, better examples. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, help us to proclaim your word and encourage others to come to thee. Dear Lord, we ask again that you would watch over and protect us, give us guidance in our lives. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 12, 43 and 44. In the Pew Bible, that's page 1360. Matthew 12, 43 and verse 44. Pew Bible is 1360. Mr. Charles, I went back to do this, and I was using my brain, and I went to 22 instead of 12, but that's okay. I corrected my mistake. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Brother Tom.
Please turn to 183. This song will turn over to Charles. Good to have Charles with us this morning. He'll be delivering our message. 183, please. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him near his joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreariest ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus over land and sea, telling souls in darkness of salvation free. Ready as he summons me to go or stay. Anywhere with Jesus when he points the way. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can say, go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep when the darkening shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and never more to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
227. Thank you, sir. Well, my understanding is that your high school beat my high school in football Friday night. So congratulations. the other night. And so I've been looking forward to saying congratulations for beating Meadowbrook High School. The students are sad about that, but I'm not. But anyway, as you all know, I really do enjoy driving from Zanesville to here. And now that we have the fall colors, which proves my wife wrong. We were thinking that there weren't going to be any colors in the trees this year because of all the drought we had had. Well, you know, my wife says, you know, the colors are going to be terrible this year. Well, no, they're not. They're actually quite nice. It gives you a little bit of hope, a little bit of beauty in a time which we had absolutely nothing going on. The grass is brown, crops weren't doing well, but yet at the same time, this wonderful beauty seems to be coming our way. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, I wanted to talk a little bit about what happens when things are empty. As I'm driving from Zanesville to here, not only here and in various places along the road, but in Zanesville as well. I drive past a house or a barn or something that's not very well attended. And you see that the paint is peeling. In some instances, the buildings are kind of leaning. Some of the tile is not doing well. It comes off. The roof may be leaking a little or in the process of getting there. There's weeds grown up, the trees are grown up, and they're not very well attended. Somebody's old garden has got, it's full of weeds, and now the weeds are dead, and it's just there. And you see a sign in the front yard that says, for sale, by owner. The real estate agency isn't even going to take it on, for whatever reason. And on occasions, you'll run across a house here or there in a little tiny town or a big town, okay? I know one particular piece of property in Zanesville that I came past, and there was three houses in a row that you can tell that nobody's been there for a while. Three. Nobody's cut the grass. The one house, the mailbox is kind of leaning like this. And you're like, well, I'm glad they don't have any mail. It'd probably fall over, particularly with all the political things that we all get in the mail. And you're like, wow, I wonder what happened. You wonder what happened. And you say, well, what's that have to do with chapter 12 of Matthew? Well, in verse 43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, when you take the evil things out of somebody, when you ask somebody to become a Christian, when you take those evil things away from the man, the woman, you ask them not to do those bad things anymore, then what do? Do we hope that they come to church? Do we, you know, maybe give them a phone call now and then? Do we send them a card? Do they know we care? That's always a good question. Years ago, my father was the deacon in charge of bus ministry at Norville Park. And we would, every Saturday morning and afternoon, the bus teams, those of us in groups of two or three, would go and knock on people's doors. I don't know whether New Lexington had a bus ministry or not, but back in the 70s, the bus ministry was a big thing, okay? And the elders at Norville Park asked my father to be in charge of the bus ministry. And we would take these school buses and we would repaint them, sometimes on the inside and the out. We'd change the colors from school buses. And we would knock on people's doors and say, hey, do you have any children who would love to ride to go to church on Sunday morning for Bible class and for worship, junior worship? Things like that. We would try to attend, and then we attend to their needs. We would knock every Saturday morning. Hey, are your children coming to church? And we would know whether or not to stop at the house. Hey, would they like to come? Maybe not Sunday morning, but how about Sunday night? How about Wednesday night? And we would knock on those doors every week, week after week after week. And that sometimes the children would come. On rare occasions, the parents would come, but it was rare. But the idea was we tried to attend to them every week, make sure that they came. Some children would come all three services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sometimes they would only come on Sunday morning. Now, how we as the church was viewed, it was different. Some people would say, yeah, my kid needs to know something about God. Well, how about you? Would you like to come? Well, no, I used to go to church, but you can take my kids. And sometimes the church ended up looking like a babysitting service more than a spiritual service. But you know, that's the chance you take. When you knock on somebody's door and say, would you like to study Bible? We're looking for new people to come to our church. Would you like to come? We noticed you came to visit. We would like to invite you back. Sometimes that knock was not very loud, but it was knocking. Knocked on a door once to invite new people to see if the couple that lived there had any children who would like to have the bus. And unfortunately, that particular Saturday afternoon when I knocked on that door, it was bad timing. The couple was having a domestic dispute, and he had a .45 in his hand. But I didn't know that at the time that I knocked on the door. And here I'm coming up on the steps, and the other two people who are with me, we knocked on the door, and this guy comes to the door, opens the door, and he says, yeah, what do you want? And he's standing there, and I thought, I'm about to die. It was shiny. It was big. And I'd never been so scared in my life. But I went through my normal routine and I said, hello, we're from Norville Park Church of Christ and we have a bus that comes in the area and we would like to know if your children would like to ride our church bus to Sunday morning worship service. And he stopped and hesitated, and then he went on. No, blah, 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 words I'm not allowed to say. And he said, we don't have any children here. I thought, oh, and that's a good thing. But, you know, I went on and said, well, thank you very much, sir. You and your wife have a good day. I had no idea whether that was his wife or not, but I took a chance. And I turned around and I walked off the porch and I thought, he's going to shoot me. He's going to shoot me. And I walked off the porch, went down to the corner of the sidewalk, turned right, and went to the next house. And I took a deep breath. And I thought, I didn't die. I didn't die. I'm good. When we ask people to be Christians, we ask them to empty out their house, to empty out this house, and we clean it. And the question is, do we replace it with anything? This particular person, this particular spirit says, he goes around, the spirit's looking for someplace new to be. He goes through dry places, seeking rest. That evil spirit's looking for some place to land. Says so. And finds what? Doesn't find any place to go. Then he says, I will return to my house, where the spirit came from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it what? Empty. He's found that body empty. There's nothing there. Why? But it's empty. It's been cleaned and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him, not himself, but seven other spirits worse than he was. More wicked than himself. It's a party of eight, and they're all bad guys. Why? Because there was nothing good we didn't fill the house. We didn't fill it with something good. So if you don't fill it with something good, bad's going to come back. If we don't take care of the house, when we clean the house and repair it, make it filled with something, that house is going to fall down. If we don't fill our houses with something good, something bad will come back. Why? Because it's been left empty. We cannot ask people to give up their alcoholism, their drug addictions, their prostitution, their money laundering, their thieving, they're lying if we don't give them something to work with. We as Christians have to give the world hope. That is one of the most powerful words in the world, hope. Prisoners, war prisoners who are hoping to be able to, they want to leave, they want to escape, they want somebody to rescue them. And prisoners will tell you the one thing that they have going for them is not lying, is not stealing, it's not drugs. It's a four-letter word. Hope. As we as Christians, if what we do every day as Christians is a lie, then we have no hope. We have an empty house, and it's going to get filled with something worse than we had before. Why? Because Jesus says so in chapter 12. He's telling us we need to fill it with something good. When we ask people to come to church, to follow Jesus, to become Christians, we have to take the stuff that they're doing wrong, the sins in their lives, and fill it with something good. If they don't, they're going to find out that they have nothing, and they're going to go back to what they had because that's what they're used to. And you're saying, Charles, where are you going with this? I'll tell you. If you change over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16, walking in the Spirit. Then I used this scripture a while back, and this was where I was going with this a while back. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not be filled with what? Lusts of the flesh, the lying, the cheating, the stealing. What do you have to do? You have to fill that house with the Spirit. And what's in that Spirit? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. These are going to be two sides that are going to bang each other. They hate each other. The good hates the bad. The bad hates the good. And if we don't have the good in it, the bad's going to take over. Scripture says so. When we talk to people about becoming Christians, we cannot allow them, once they become Christians, we cannot allow them to stay alcoholics, drug addicts, prostitutes, thieves, liars, because that's not the Christian way. We have to replace it with something. Hope, light. We are the salt of the earth. But did you know you can have too much salt? My doctor tells me I have too much sodium in my system. Causes my blood pressure to go up. I have to take pills for that, which eliminates some of the salt. And by the way, I like salt. My doctor's having a terrible time with me, my blood pressure. He's having a terrible time with my heart rate. And I'm going to tell you in advance, I will not be here the Sunday after Christmas because I'm having surgery. I'm going to have to be missing it at New Lexington one more Sunday. And I like being here. I love being here. This is my vacation from Zanesville. You may not understand that, but I do. But the whole idea, yes, you know, this. I don't know what that is about this town, but I love this town. I don't know why. I just do. But my doctor says that I need a little more work. He's not done with me yet. And that's okay, you know. I trust this doctor. I can barely pronounce his name, but I trust him. There's just something about him that I say, you know, I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to trust God to let me come back in January. That's just all there is to it. And if I don't make it back in January, well, I guess I wasn't supposed to be here. But for the flesh, you know, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. We're told that they are fighting enemies. We are told that they do not get along, so that you do not do the things that you want. Okay? And what are some of those things that we're not supposed to do? Oh, but say but if you are led by the Spirit, you don't have to worry about the law. Okay? And the law says, now the works of the flesh are, as we already know, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. I don't know anybody particular who practices sorcery. I have no idea. If there's somebody out here that does that, you know, have at it. Okay, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Another translation says outbursts of anger. How many angry people do you know of? As soon as you talk to them, they're angry. Even if they're not mad at you, they're just angry all the time. Wow. Talk about raising your blood pressure. No, thank you. Okay, selfish ambitions. How many greedy people do you know? Okay. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. I hope you guys don't know any murderers. I know one, or used to be one. He's hoping to be forgiven. He says, I did it. He says, it was my fault. He says, I hope to never do that again. I said, well, I hope you don't either. you know, envies, drunkenness, revelries, and like. He says, which I tell you beforehand, as I've also told you in times past. So Paul is repeating this message. These are the things I've already told you about. Don't do it again. Don't be envious of each other. And that's terrible. You know, I'd like to have $1 million too, but $26 million, I don't know what I'd do with it. I can only buy one car at a time. I can only drive one car at a time. I can only live in one house at a time. Why do I need seven? I don't. Okay. He says, and those who practice such things will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. They will not see, they may see God in a distance, but they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. They'll see him across the cavern saying, I'm sorry, can you forgive me once we get there? No, I'm sorry, it's over. It's done. I can't fix it. I'm sorry. Can you give me a drop of water? No, I can't. It's done. But, the word, but, the fruits of the Spirit is love. We have to teach people love. I never thought I would, that's true, but we have to teach people love. Because if all they know is hate, you have to teach them the opposite. You know, I'm not exactly sure how to teach people love. I'll be honest, I don't. I know how I can show them love, but I'm not sure how I could teach you love. Joy. I'm still looking for joy. I am not anything close to being perfect. I'm still looking for these fruits of the Spirit. I'm still looking for peace. Do I have peace? No. I'm looking for it. I'm working toward it. And you know, there's so many people who think as soon as you're a Christian, you're perfect. I don't know about you, but I am not perfect. Not by any standards. If I was perfect, I would have peace. If I was perfect, I would have joy. If I was perfect, I would be love. But I'm not. I am working toward it. I had a conversation with a guy who was a finance manager. He says, you people in the Church of Christ think you're perfect. And I'm like, really? Since when? I had no idea I gave that personification. I had to look that word up to make sure I was using it right. That personification, I had no idea that was the perception that people had of us. Christianity is the only religion that I know of that you come in the door not being perfect, working toward it. Almost every other religion I know of expects you to be perfect when you walk in the door. Wow, I had no idea. I never did get that guy to come to church. I really tried, but that was his perception of me. Is he thought that I thought I was perfect. Okay, wow. I missed that boat somewhere along the line. Long-suffering. Yeah, I think I've made long-suffering. You know, I think I've made that one. Okay, kindness, I keep trying. I'm sure that those students that I have every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday mornings when I was a substitute teacher, they don't think that I am a kind guy at all. They think Mr. Savage is just mean. I'm like, really? Wow. Okay, if that's the case, I'll keep that part of it. But anyway, goodness. We have to teach people how to be good. We have to teach people how to be good. How do you teach somebody not to pick up that bottle again? How do you teach somebody not to pick up that bottle of pills? How do you teach people not to hate them, that they want to kill them? Wow. But we are. Because if we're going to let them have an empty house, where they're going to turn out worse than if we hadn't even bothered. But if we're going to bother, then we have to teach them. Not just the scriptures, but teach them a whole new lifestyle. Faithfulness. There are some people who can't be faithful to anything. But we have to teach them how to be faithful. Okay. How to be gentle. How to be kind. You ever tried to teach a baby how to be nice to its baby brother or sister? Hi. Pat the brother, bang it on the head. Or pet that kitty or the dog. You gotta be gentle. Okay, you have to teach them to be gentle. Some people still don't know how to keep from being mean. We have to teach them how to be nice. Teach them manners. Teach them to be polite. Self-control. Some people have no self-control because they've learned bad habits. How do you teach somebody not to gamble? Yeah. We have a lot to learn. We may have mastered some of these things, but do we know how to teach them to people? And that's how you get people to believe in Christ, is you change their lifestyles, you change their habits, they change their behaviors, you change their way they think. How do you teach people not to want to kill somebody? How do you teach people that there is hope so that they don't kill themselves? Once, only once in my entire, I know there's not been a whole lot of scripture here this morning, but I wanted to give you something to think about from these two scriptures. One time, I had a student who walked into my office at the university. I'm not allowed to share names. But she sat down in a chair that was in my office and said, "Mr. Savage, I don't have anybody else to talk to. I'm about to die." And I said, "Why?" She says, I don't like being here anymore. So we talked for a few minutes. I mainly listened. One of the few times that I didn't have to talk, instead of giving a lecture, I listened. And I said, "By the way," I said, "did you," at the end of the session, I said, "are you okay?" And she goes, "Yeah, I think so." I said, "You know what you really should do?" I said, "And this is probably something you don't want to hear, but I am the wrong person you should be talking to. You should talk to somebody else who can help you, but I'm the wrong person." And she looked at me kind of funny, and I said, "I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a psychologist, I'm a music teacher." I said, "You should find the people who truly can help you. If you want, we'll go find them, but I'm the wrong one." It's nice to know she graduated a few years later than she needed to, but she did graduate. What happened to her after that, I'm not quite sure. I think she got the right help, but I couldn't leave the house empty. We needed to fill it with something. So we, as Christians, when we go out into the world and ask people to come to us, or if we can help them, remember, don't tell them to just empty out the house. We have to help them fill it with the gifts of the Spirit. It's really important to do that. We can't leave the house empty. And I know this might not be the most uplifting message in the world, but hopefully this is good timing for somebody. If you find that your house is empty, I'm sorry. We need to help fill it with something different. Good news. I like good news. I like presents at Christmas and birthdays. And on occasion, just because. God has a lot of gifts for you, and most of them don't cost anything at all except our time. And somebody's kindness and beautiful words that are, Jesus died for you. He died for your sins, and he died so that you, and was risen from the grave so that you would have an opportunity to be someplace absolutely, positively beautiful, where we don't have to worry about being liars and thieves and drunks and prostitutes and all that, envious and murderous. We don't have to worry about any of that ever again. Once we get to a house, it's going to be filled with wonderful things and wonderful souls. Heaven. I'm looking forward to it. If God finds me worthy. And if he doesn't, it's my loss. Because I'll miss all of you if I don't get to go. If you need anything, anything at all, you let us know as we stand and sing. Please stand.
(clears throat) 227, please. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, bear the news to every land. Find the sea and cross the ways. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, wrapped in on the rolling high. Jesus saves, tell the sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves, earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, sing above the battle's strife. Jesus saves, by his death an endless life. Jesus saves, sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing and cry before the tomb. Jesus saves, give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, please be seated.
Change the song this morning to 437 for our communion song. 437, please. Please prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. 437.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then.
Does anybody need the communion this morning given to them? This morning, in doing the Lord's Supper, Tom kind of changed the song on me a little bit there because I had looked at the one he had, but then the one we just got done singing actually falls into more what we need to remember. It says, "Remind me, dear Lord." You know, it tells us in this song, we're not to forget. We're not to forget when it comes up here to be the take of the Lord's Supper. We're to do this every week. You know, the scripture reminds us to do this. And God has it, you know, and there is up on the first day of the week that we're to do this. Like the emblems that we have in the bag that we have for the emblems, one is the bread. The bread represents his body. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that he shed upon the cross for all of us. I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 14 and read verses 22 through 25. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. And he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." You know, we're by what God has given us and told us that we're to do this up on the first day of the week, just like the song we just sang. It said, "Remind me." You know, God is reminding us because he gave us the scriptures to read and look at and remember. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come and surround this table in remembrance of what you did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we continue our thanks and know that you went to the cross to be there and to remind us that we need to do this every day. And you remind us through the scriptures that you had given us to remind that we have to do this upon the first day of the week. Be with us as now as we go to partake of the fruit of the vine that represents your blood that you shed upon the cross. Bless it for an intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Separate and apart, partaking of the Lord's Supper is the offering. The offering goes toward the work of the church. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we know that everything that we see and we can touch and we know all that came from you. And we know that that's through you that we know that what we can expect and what we need to do. be with us as we go to give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll turn it over to Brother Jim.
If you haven't got a bulletin yet, last time I was looking, there's still some there. I won't go over most of these things, so I would remind you that on our midweek Bible study that we've changed the time to 6:30, so we moved that back an hour. Don't forget our Bible studies this morning. It was the book of Daniel, and Tom's been teaching that, and I believe Dave's going to start next month. It's hard to believe that another month is coming so quickly. Remember, ladies' Bible study on Sunday evenings. It's in First Chronicles. And midweek, we've been studying Providence. It's been a great study, and we're getting close to the end of it now during Wednesday nights. Keep in mind all the sick that we have here, so many, and going through some very difficult times. Recently, the loss of Jenny Kennedy. Keep that family in your prayers. And I see that Colin Nethers here is not going to have the surgery, so we're thankful for that. Jeanette Compton was in the accident, and then Les in OSU's had a surgery recently, and also Bonnie is facing some lung issues. So those especially I'll mention at this time. Also, I have a note here from Marcia. Please announce we are finishing up the directory. If you wish to make sure or double check the information in the directory, please see Marcia today. She has a copy with her, so if you'd like to look at your address and make absolutely sure. Do you know that if you're taking a math test and you go back and check something, you get a 10% higher score? The research shows that just because you check your work. So it is worthwhile to go check this again, because Charles said we're not perfect. We make mistakes. So we all feel that way. We know it. So we want to correct those as well as we can. That's why I would say it's all right to make the mistakes, but it's not all right to try to correct things. That's the things that we want to do. And I think that's good as a Christian as well. Appreciate Charles' sermon this morning. I did want to announce I do have the results of the red sheet. I asked you to put your age down, no names. Our average was 54. So that's the average of the congregation of the people that were here when they signed down their age. The range, which would be what's the youngest and the oldest, was 6 and 80. The mode, that's the score that's there the most. In this, it's the age. What age was there most? About six people were right around 69 and a half. So they're either 69 now or will be turning 70 soon. The median score right in the middle of all this is very close to the average, 56. So this gives you an idea where we are. And you think, well, we've got a pretty old average, but I was thinking on that, did God always pick the very person that you would think would do it, when he picked a king for the first time, and when he picked David, and we go on through all the Old Testament characters? He didn't pick always the ones that people would thought he would pick. So it's going to be up to us. We have to keep inviting people to church, trying to think about others that might be interested in coming. What we're doing back there with the technology room, trying to search out those good and honest hearts that want to know about God. So that's something for us to think about. No matter whether we're sick or old, whatever, let's do what we can. I did want to mention this. This is kind of off of the subject here of the church, but when I see something like this, Charles talking about how beautiful it is down here, and we've known that. We lived here. We grew up here, most of us, and we know how beautiful it is. But right now, between Shawnee and Hemlock on Route 155, they had a special event down there, and we pass that every time we come up here. And there's somewhere around, they had sold 1,500 tickets to the campers and the riders down there at Tecumseh Trail, and they're looking to have sold probably, and I think from what we saw this morning, 2,000. Now that's more people than we have down in Southern Local, because most of the towns now are about 500 people. You got New Strangeville, Shawnee, and Corning, and that's way over that. And they're parked along the highway. They're parked on steep hills where I don't know how they slept in those tents and things. With you set a tent up on the side of a hill, but they came and they stayed in places that we would think, well, that wasn't that great, but they enjoyed it just because they were out down here in the trees. So we need to appreciate what we do have. It's beautiful here. I'm going to watch that microphone. Anything else that you need to announce this morning?
Well, as you know, Jimmy, they actually had the reason there were so many more people down there because they had a conference. They had a conference for our United down there.
Oh.
And people from out of state actually came in for it.
Yeah.
Because I was busy yesterday. I took actually 3 people up out of from down there and took them to Lake.
Oh. Wow. That's amazing to me. Especially this land they ride around on. I grew up on that land and walked over it all the time hunting, and used to go out that ridge. Used to be a road go through there from Shawnee to Hemlock up on that ridge. I've walked out that many, many times. And to think that people come from another state, we don't appreciate what we have sometimes all around us. Anything else? I believe Tom has the closing prayer.
Please stand. Might make mention, Frank Smith from Shawnee Church is in the hospital and having a lot of problems. So keep Frank Smith in your prayers. We all know Frank, I imagine most of us. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time we could come to be together, to get strength from your word and be edified and glorify your name. Thank for Charles coming. Be with him and his family. Be with Frank Smith and his family. And if be your will, restore him his health and so many others. Father, help us be there for other people and their needs, whatever we can do. Help the Kennedy family over Jenny, lost of her, and be with them and strengthen them and help us to mourn with them that mourn, and rejoice with them that rejoice. If Diane, as she's starting her therapy on her wrist, get well and be able to use her wrist again, and help Bonnie continue to be strong, and others, Father, we just pray for the weak, that's spiritually weak here, that something we can do to help them grow. Help us all grow. We're all weak at times. We all need strength. Help us grow spiritually and in number as the Church of Christ New Lex. Thank you, God, for Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen.